There are two types of figures of speech in the Bible that involve comparisons. One of those is a metaphor, and we talked about a metaphor in our last study last Sunday morning. A metaphor is nothing more than a comparison that does not use the word like or as to make the comparison. And there are several of those found in Scripture. Take, for instance, these two. Jesus tells us, "Ye are the salt of the earth," Matthew 5:13. Or he says, "Ye are the light of the world," Matthew 5, verse 14. Notice he doesn't say, "You are like the salt of the earth." He doesn't say, "You are as the light of the world." He says, "You are these things." A comparison. Many individuals believe that the comparison known as a metaphor is a much stronger comparison than the second word that is used for comparison. We refer to it as a simile. A simile is nothing more than a comparison that does use the words like or as to make the comparison. We find one of those in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9, a passage that's familiar to all of us. "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary," listen to him, "as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing what? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world." Notice the words, "as a roaring lion." In this particular passage, Peter compares Satan, our enemy, with a roaring lion. The title of our lesson, very simply this morning, is this: Beware of the Lion. We're going to stick right in these two verses, and we're going to be looking at some lessons that we can learn from this particular text. Notice he begins with an admonition. In fact, he issues forth two instructions to his readers. First, he says, "Be sober." Let's look at a definition of that word sober. I love the definition. Strong says that it means this: to abstain from wine. He's talking about alcoholic beverages in that particular statement that he makes. Alcoholic beverages cause an individual to become intoxicated, cause an individual to lose his senses, cause an individual not to be able to think clearly. He is no longer a sober-minded individual. Thayer defines the word as follows: to be temperate, to be dispassionate, to be circumspect. Sometimes words are used in definitions, and then we have to look up the words that are in the definition to know what the definition is. So let's look at those three words very quickly. What does it mean to be temperate? Very simply, it's defined as self-control. An individual who is sober is self-controlled. Secondly, to be dispassionate, to be calm, to be objective. I love this next statement: to be free from the influence of emotion. You see, sometimes our emotions drive us rather than concrete, rational thinking. If you and I are going to be sober individuals, we cannot let our emotions get the best of us. We have to stop and we have to think clearly if we're going to be sober people. That little word circumspect means this: to be watchful, to be prudent, discreet, cautious. Vines defines the word as follows: to be free from the influence of intoxicants. Robertson, in his word study, defines the word sober as coming from a root word meaning to be watchful. And then Vincent says, to be of a sound mind. Peter begins by calling his readers to attention, does he not? Be sober! Do not allow your minds to be distracted with other things. Do not allow your minds to be overcome with emotion, We need to be individuals who can constantly, always be aware of the enemy. Be sober. Peter's letting us know real quick that he's talking about some serious business and not something to be played around with. The second admonition, vigilant. Let's look at the definition of vigilant. Strong defines the word as this: to keep awake, to watch. Thayer says it's defined as to watch. I love this next statement. To give strong attention to be cautious. To watch, to keep awake, to be spiritually alert. Folks, the devil is on the prowl. The devil is constantly around, hiding in secret places. He is looking for each and every opportunity that he can do to pounce upon his prey, and you and I must constantly be watchful of his presence. Be sober. Be vigilant. Here's what's interesting. You and I have a part to play in our fight against the devil. In other words, you and I just can't pray to God and say, God, protect me, and think that God is going to do all the work. It doesn't work that way. As you and I go through our lives, we've got to be sober, right-minded, right-thinking, dispassionate individuals. And we've got to always be on our guard, always be alert, because Satan, our foe, is active. Point number two, the adversary. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. He uses two labels to describe our enemy, doesn't he? He first calls him an adversary. Strong defines that word as an opponent. He also says the arch enemy. There is no greater enemy of mankind than the evil one that we call Satan. Thayer defines it as an opponent, an enemy, an adversary. Vine simply says he is the enemy. Notice he also uses another word, the devil. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about, he says. That little word devil comes from the Greek word diablos, and it means traducer or slanderer. It refers to one who is prone to slander, a false accuser. I love what Vine says. Accuser, slanderer, from a word meaning to malign. We have an enemy who stands before us, and folks, he wants absolutely nothing good for you. He will malign you. He will slander you. He will curse you. He will do whatever it takes to do evil against you. The labels. But then he goes into the likenesses. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Just a couple of weeks ago, I went up to Sevierville, Gatlinburg, in Tennessee, and I checked into a hotel. And the lady handed me my keys, and the last statement she said to me was this: you make certain every ounce of food and every suite is out of that car. She said, because we've been having a lot of trouble with bears. Now, I want you to think about that. I was riding in a pickup truck. And that pickup truck doesn't have a soft top. It's a hard top. And it's got windows in it that are pretty strong. And I said, you mean to tell me a bear can get into my car if I leave sweets in it? She says, happens all the time. Breaks the windows, right in your car. Wouldn't that be a mess? I didn't leave nothing in that car. Now note this. In Palestine, it wasn't bears. In Palestine, the enemy that surrounded the cities, the enemy that surrounded the towns, oftentimes were lions. And you want to know how they made their presence known? The darkness began to settle in, and you would hear the roar of a lion. And you would immediately know the enemy is there, the enemy is present, the enemy is near, and he is lurking in secret places. I can't see him, but he's present. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever really stopped and thought about the likenesses, the similarities between a lion and the devil? Here's the first one. Both of them are real. If you don't believe that lions exist, go buy you a ticket to the zoo. It's the best way I can tell you to do that. They have a lion exhibit down there. You can go down there and guess what? You'll find out real quick there is such a thing as a lion that exists. Now what's interesting is Peter believed lions were real, but he said that the devil is like those lions. You know what he thought in his mind? Satan is real. He's just as real as those lions are. He's not a figment of man's imagination. He's not something mystical. He's not something that just describes the evil in the world. He is a real living being that exists. And he is as a roaring lion. Second, both go out on the prowl to seek their prey, don't they? The dusk begins to fall, and guess what? The lion begins to walk. And he walks through all the secret places. He walks through all the hiding places. And his eyes are wide open, seeking his prey. And the same is true of Satan. There's only one difference between lions and the devil as far as seeking prey. The devil doesn't have to sleep. The devil is seeking his prey 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We turn to the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 7. Satan enters into the presence of God, and Satan is asked a question by God, "Whence comest thou?" And he answers the Lord, and he tells him, "I've been going up and down in the earth and to and fro in it." What is he doing, folks? He's on the prey. He's stalking his prey. He's on the prowl, looking for anyone he can possibly find. Point three, both seek all prey, but especially the weak. When a lion begins to walk up to a herd of other animals, he's looking for two individuals primarily. Number one, the little ones who get separated from the big ones, or a big one who is weak in stature and not able to keep up, and therefore he too is separated somewhat from the flock. I find it interesting that when God asked Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Remember what Satan's statement was? I haven't even looked at Job. You've put a hedge around Job. Job is well protected. You've blessed him like crazy. He's faithful to you. He's going to love you because of everything that he's got. No, I haven't looked at Job. Job looked what? Strong, didn't he? He didn't look weak. He said, "You take away everything that he has, you make him weak, and guess what? He'll succumb to me." Folks, when was it that Satan attacked our Lord? After 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Let's just all do something. Starting right now, let's all fast for 40 days, okay? Everybody agree to do that? I've already got some people not wanting to do that. Can you imagine? 40-day fast. Some of us can't go 2 hours without some food. You know it? 40 days, Jesus had no food whatsoever. And then Satan walks up to him, and what does he say? Two things. If thou be the Son of God, as if there's doubt. There's no doubt. I am the Son of God. Well, if you are, then do what? Command that these stones be made bread. And you know what? Jesus knew I can do that. I can immediately satisfy my hunger if I so desire. When did Satan appear before Jesus? At one of the weakest moments in his life. That's when he did it. Folks, be extremely cautious. When you and your life become grieved, lonely, depressed, upset, angry, because it is in those moments that Satan knows that you are vulnerable. And Satan is on the prowl, and he will do everything he can possibly do to overtake you in those weakest moments of your life. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Your adversary is seeking you. Notice the next point. Both are crafty in their approaches, aren't they? They sneak up on their victims. I love to watch a good lion stalk his prey, don't you? That dude can stand at attention for 5 or 10 minutes before he sets one foot down in front of the other. And then the next one. And then the next one. Just stalking his prey. And guess what? They usually wait in the secret places, do they not? Around a tree, in the deep grass, in the bush somewhere, waiting for that prey to become vulnerable. Satan, too, is a wicked, sly individual. And the Bible notes that oftentimes. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Genesis 3, verse 1. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "But I fear lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." He is a subtle, crafty, sly, wily individual who is on the prowl. Notice point 5. Both are powerful adversaries. Go do some study on lions. It's amazing. The power that is in their mouth is 1,000 pounds per square inch. You do not want a lion to bite you. Just don't want that. They can run up to 50 kilometers an hour. They can jump 10 feet in a single bound. And folks, they can carry 2,300 pounds. That's a lot of weight, you know it? That's over 1 ton. They're strong. But guess what? Satan's got a power that is difficult for us to imagine. Oh no, his power is not physical strength like that of a lion, but he is an expert at tantalizing our desires, is he not? He knows where our lusts are. He knows where our desires are. He knows where our longings are. And he puts those temptations in front of us. It's interesting too. He knows how to frame a lie in such a way that you think that it's for your best. I've always thought about being Adam and Eve in the garden. And I've always hoped in my mind that I would have done better than they would have done. But I don't know that I would have. Listen to the promise. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be what? Your eyes shall be open, and ye shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. Wow. That's a lie, is it not? You can become just like God Himself. God is holding something back from you. There's something wonderful you can obtain if you'll just eat the fruit. You see, he made it seem as though his lies were good for them. And it worked, didn't it? How about this next one? Both lion and Satan take no pity on their victims. Lions don't care about the size of their prey. They don't care about the innocency of their prey. They do not care about the cries of their prey. Once that prey is in their clutches, guess what? They will never give it up. You know that? And guess what? Satan does not care about his victims. There's no pity. He doesn't care if you're an elderly individual who is struggling in life. He doesn't care if you're the one child of your mom and daddy. He doesn't care if you're a single mom. He doesn't care if you're struggling to provide for your house and you have a wife and four or five children. He could care less. There is no pity when it comes to Satan. Notice this next one. Both are aggressive once the attack begins. You ever watched a lion once he actually makes the attack? There's no stopping, is there? It's over and over and over and over. It's relentless until he has that prey exactly where he wants that prey. And the same is true of Satan. Once the attack is on, he will be relentless in that attack. He will be an aggressor in that attack. That's why you and I have to constantly be aware of him. And lastly, both seek to devour their victims, do they not? The lion and Satan are killers. Life means absolutely nothing to either one of them. It's hard to imagine a being named Satan that is that wicked. You know that? And my friends, he is out to get us. So the question is, what's the answer? How do we stand up against the adversary? Well, Peter tells us that in verse 9. He tells us there's two things that you must do if you're going to be successful against Satan once he attacks. Number one, you must resist him. Whom resists steadfastly in the faith. That little word, resist, is the key, isn't it? The definition of the word is this, to stand against, to oppose him. Thayer says it means to set oneself against, to withstand, to resist, to oppose. Vine says to stand against. James agrees with Peter in his epistle. And he tells us to resist the devil. But he also attaches a promise to that, does he not? Listen to what he says. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. As I was thinking about this point, it hit me, in order to resist the devil, I also have to resist myself. Isn't that something? Because you see, Satan entices our lusts, our desires, and our wants, does he not? You see, that's what makes temptation so difficult for us. This is what I want. This is what I long for. This is what I love. This is what I desire. And all of a sudden, Satan entices that and he says, you can have it all. Just take the bait. So guess who I have to fight? It's not just a fight against Satan, folks. I've got to resist my own will, my own flesh, my own desires. in the process. It's really a twofold battle, isn't it? There's two other words that are connected to this idea of resisting the devil. Notice what he says. He says to resist him how? Steadfastly. The definition of that word steadfast is this: strong, firm, immovable, solid. Folks, listen to me. When Satan tempts us, he needs to know that he has just walked up to a brick wall that he will not get through. I remember the words of Jesus, don't you? Get thee hence, Satan! Resist him steadfastly with every fiber of your being. But notice he also says you need to resist him steadfastly in the faith. That little word faith means the system of faith, the body of faith. He's talking about the entirety of the New Testament of Jesus Christ. When Satan comes against you, you resist him strongly with what? With the precious Word of the living God. I'm reminded of Jesus, aren't you? We could spend a whole other lesson talking about that. There Satan was, tempting Jesus. Remember, he was vulnerable. Satan was all over him. And three times Jesus used the faith, the system of faith, the Word of God to overcome the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. Remember this morning in our Bible class we were talking about, do we really believe in the power of the book? This book has the power to help us overcome the temptations of the devil himself. But we have to use it. Resist him. How? Steadfastly, strongly, firmly, in the faith, with the Word of the living God. But secondly, he says this, you need to remember something. It's the last part of the verse. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, sometimes when we are tempted, sometimes when we are struggling against the evil one, we feel like we're all alone, don't we? I'm the only one going through this difficulty. I'm the only one that Satan has in his clutches right now. Folks, that is not the case. There are brethren all over the world who are having to do exactly what every one of us are having to do on a daily basis. They're having to resist the evil one. And we need to remember them, don't we? And guess what they're doing? They're doing what we're trying to do. We're trying to overcome him. We're trying to be victorious, aren't we? If I keep that in mind, can that encourage me to be faithful and steadfast? Others are fighting the battle. Others are being victorious. Others are resisting the devil. I can do it too. And we can stand together toe to toe and win the victory over Satan. Wow. When I think of a lion, I don't normally think about him being in a zoo, do you? I don't. When I think about a lion, I think about a lion that is out there in the wilderness, in the jungle. In fact, I think of him as being the king of the jungle, don't you? I think about him being powerful and ferocious and fierce. I would not want to meet one on a trail. That's all I can tell you. But guess what? There's another way that you and I can picture a lion, can't we? A lion can be tamed. And a lion can be controlled. Can he? Now here's what we need to remember. You can't tame the devil by yielding to him. It's an impossibility. The only way to tame the devil in our life, the only way to control him, is by resisting Him with every fiber of our being, appealing to the Word of God for our assistance. We got two choices. Will you allow Satan to conquer you? Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh, listen to him, whom he may devour. We yield to Satan, and there is no life that is left. Folks, you're going to let Satan conquer you, or are you and I going to resist him and bring him under our control? Those are the only two options that exist when it comes to Satan. Every one of us are fighting our own battles, aren't we? And every one of us know whether or not we're winning those battles or not winning those battles. Maybe you've never even submitted to the Christ. We want you to do that this morning. The steps are simple. It's the only way to overcome the devil. And that's by siding with the Christ. Our Lord tells us to believe that He is the Son of God, John 8:24. To repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. Confess His precious name, Matthew 10:32. And be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. You exit the realm of Satan. You enter into the kingdom of the Almighty God, Colossians 1:13. Dear Christian, what about you? The fight's on, isn't it? Can you honestly say you're winning the battle against the evil one? You're resisting him with everything that you have? Maybe you've sinned and erred and need to repent and ask God to forgive you. You need to respond to the invitation once you come as we stand and sing.